Good morning, and welcome to those of you who are listening at our broadcast of our Sunday morning service at 100.1 FM, or maybe you are listening to the live stream on the internet. And the easiest way to get to the live stream is on our church website at stpaulykt.org, and click on the link, Shoutcast Audio Stream, at the bottom of the page. Worship bulletins and announcements are available in two places, on our church website and also in the container on the porch at the educational building entrance. This last week, on Tuesday, we had a church council meeting, and procedures for reopening the sanctuary were approved. And those two are posted on our website. They're also at the end of today's bulletin after the announcements, and they are also on our Facebook page at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Yorktown, Texas. This morning I'm going to spend a little bit of time and go through these procedures because I know everybody does not have a copy of those with them or in front of them, and it may sound like I'm giving two sermons this morning, but I think it's important that we spend a little time with this. We are reminded in Ecclesiastes that for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And so at our May 5th church council meeting, the council decided it was time to reopen the sanctuary for worship services. However, we want to do it safely, following the civil authorities' guidelines. And the precautions that will be in place are as follows. Number one, the date for beginning to hold worship services in the sanctuary will be next Sunday, May 17th. If you feel you are not well, please stay home. If you do not feel comfortable coming back to church at this time, that's all right. You are still welcome to listen to the radio broadcast. We will continue to broadcast at 100.1 FM, and also it will continue to live stream on our website. Bulletins will also be available yet. Number three, please respect other people. People have a wide range of viewpoints, opinions, and experiences with a pandemic and with the handling of it. We can love one another as Christian brothers and sisters even when we disagree. Number four, currently, the safe capacity for attendance has been determined to be 100 persons based on the full capacity of the sanctuary being at 400. This number will be increased as reopening Texas continues, with new COVID-19 cases remaining manageable by health entities and availability of local medical resources. Number five, face masks are highly recommended. The use of face masks are not intended to keep the user safe, but to keep the other people around you safe. Remember, you can have few or no symptoms and still be contagious to someone who will be unable to tolerate the disease as well as you can. Our Lord instructed us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let us strive to do this by taking the actions necessary to protect our fellow brothers and sisters, even if it may feel uncomfortable or strange. Please bring your own face mask, but if you do not have one, we will have some available at the entrances to the sanctuary. Number six, hand sanitizers will be available at the entrances. Feel free to use them before and after services. Number seven, keep every other pew vacant and signs will be posted on the pews. Households may sit together. Otherwise, keep at least 6 feet of space between you and the next person. Number eight, offering plates will be left at the entrances and brought forward at the offering time in the service. They will not be passed through the pews. Number nine, attendance cards may be left in the pews close to the center aisle or dropped in the baskets at the exit when the service is over. Number 10, Holy Communion will be continuous, not at the rail, using the individual cups. We will strive to maintain a safe 6-foot social distance as we come to communion. Servers will wear masks and gloves. Used cups will be dropped into a container. Holy Communion will be offered every Sunday so that we do not exclude anyone. Number 11, at this time, acolytes will not be needed. And number 12, normal cleaning of the sanctuary should suffice unless we have more than one worship service within a 48-hour period. Number 13, opening Saturday services will be delayed until more thought is given to this and to what new purpose this service may serve. The Saturday service cannot be held in the chapel because there is not enough space to spread out. We may want this as a dedicated service for those who are over 65 or those having underlying health issues. Or we may need this service if our Sunday service has more attendees than is safe to be able to spread out. Another option may be to have a midweek service so that we do not have back-to-back services in the sanctuary. Whichever is chosen, we will follow the same procedures above for conducting the Saturday service. Also, the fellowship hall has been given some consideration as well as a place, as a meeting space for worship. Number 14, all other worship services in the sanctuary, weddings, funerals, memorial services, etc., will follow the same procedures as the Sunday morning worship service. Number 15, at this time, we will not be using the fellowship hall for any large gatherings such as potlucks, funeral receptions, hall rentals, etc. 16, the decision to have small groups meet, committee meetings, Bible studies, work groups, etc., will be left up to the small group leader if they can meet safely. I have already received word that the adult Sunday school classes will not be meeting at this time. And number 17, dates have not yet been set for the opening of the church office or for Sunday school for the children and youth. If you have any questions on these procedures, please call the church office and I'll be welcome to talk to you about these. Also, too, continue to check the church website or call the church office, because these procedures will be changing as the conditions change as well then, too. If we hear more word from our civil authorities or if we need to make changes along the way. So please stay posted with the changes that are happening. With that, we begin our worship service. And our gathering hymn is Blessed Assurance. It's out of With One Voice, number 699. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for in your wisdom you have formed us. You feed the hungry and clothe the naked. We bless you and praise your name forever. You set free those who are bound. We bless you and praise your name forever. You raise up those whose courage falters. We bless you and praise your name forever. You provide for our every need. Accept our grateful praises. You have called us from all peoples. We rejoice and bless your name forever. You bless your people with peace. We bless you and praise your loving grace. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for in your wisdom you have formed us. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn On Eagle's Wings out of With One Voice, number 779.
You are the Lord, you are the Lord, you are the Lord. first lesson is from the 7th chapter of Acts. I begin reading at verse 55. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 31 will now read in unison. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me. For you are my tower of strength. Into your hands I commend my spirit. For you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness save me. The second lesson is from the second chapter of 1 Peter. I begin reading at verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I not been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, today is Mother's Day, and if the children were here, I'd have you stand on stage, point to your mother and say, "I love you," and then I'd have you point to your dad and say, "Good job of picking Mom." But since you're not, we can all do this at home, so I don't know where your mother is, but if you can, hug her, or tap her on the shoulder, or look at her and give her a thumbs up, and now look at your dad and say, "Hey, good job of picking Mom." So today, when Pastor Tim was reading the gospel lessons, there's something that jumped out at me. Just like any time Pastor Tim is speaking from the Bible or giving a sermon, something always jumps out at me that he says. Today, as he was reading the gospel lesson, here's what jumped out at me. Verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If this were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" So I want you to picture Jesus in heaven, and he's building God's mansion. And inside this mansion, there's a room. Jesus says there are many dwelling places, which means there are many, many, many rooms inside of it. Who are the rooms for? I don't know. I mean, I know, but I'm just not going to tell you yet. Jesus goes on to say, "If this were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" So here, Jesus is giving and showing his authority, because he's saying, whatever I say is happening, I'm going to make happen. So whatever I say something, I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to say something and not do it. For instance, a couple weeks ago at Easter, Jesus had told everybody, "I'm going to go, you can't follow me, and when I go and die, the temple will be raised back 3 days later." And people were confused and said, how could Jesus tear down a temple and build it 3 days later? But they missed that they were talking about him. So in this verse, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, a room for you in my Father's house. And because I'm going to go do that, I'm going to come back and eventually get you." So right now, we're in the middle of the Easter celebration. And fast forward 2020 years later, we ask ourselves the question, where is Jesus? Are we still waiting for him? What's taking him so long? Why is he not back here yet? Well, this verse in the Bible gives us some clues. So where is Jesus? He's in heaven. And what is he doing? He's building a house in God's, or he's building a mansion for God, and he's building rooms inside that house. And who is he building those rooms for? All of the followers of Jesus Christ. So all of us who go to church, who obey Jesus, who were baptized, who confess our sins, and take Holy Communion, we're all followers of Christ. So where is Jesus now? And what's taking him so long to come back? Well, I like to think, because of this Bible verse, of the way Jesus says things, I like to think Jesus is building the room, and that's what he's doing right now. So that's what's keeping him from coming back. When Jesus is done building all the rooms and the very, very, very last room, that's when Jesus is going to come back. And when Jesus comes back, then this is what he says in verse 3. He says, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." And that's the important word. "I'm going to come again, and I will take you myself, so that you are going to be where I am, and I'm also going to be where you are." So now Jesus says it very clearly. "I've prepared a place for you, and I'm going to come back." And this is very, very wonderful news for all of us. Because all of us who are believers in Christ, we're not just going to die and be resurrected and just hang out and be like floaty ghosts in heaven. No, 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 no. We have a room, and we have a house, and we have an owner of the house, that is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so, before Pastor Tim read the gospel lesson, we had Miss Peyton read a scripture from Acts. And inside of it, there's a man named Stephen. And if I can reread it, it says, "Filled with the Holy Spirit," ooh, the Holy Spirit, "Stephen gazed into heaven," and who does he see? Stephen looks into heaven, and he sees God. And then on God's right side, he sees Jesus Christ standing next to him. So, in that very moment, Stephen was taken up to heaven. He was about to die, and Stephen gets taken into heaven, and he forgives all the people who stone him to death. It's a very brutal lesson, but Stephen shows forgiveness, just like Jesus showed forgiveness. Stephen shows belief, just like the thief on the cross showed belief, and Stephen is going to be rewarded by going to heaven, just like me and you are, for believing in Jesus Christ. So, don't worry where Jesus is. Believe in Jesus, because Jesus is right now in heaven as we speak, building a house for you. And, like always, every Sunday, there is a video version of what I'm saying on our Facebook page. Today's video version, if you could go click on it and watch it, because at the end of the video, there is an arts and crafts section, and inside of it, me and you will be building a paper house that represents God's mansion. So if you can, at 10 a.m. or whenever you get a free chance today, go click on the video, build the paper house, and next week, if you come back, I would like to see your paper houses so I can hang them up on the walls in the basement. God bless you. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson that we read this morning is one that's probably fairly familiar to you if you come to funerals, because many times at funerals, this is the one that is read, because it is a very comforting passage. It is also appropriate for that because of the context of this gospel lesson that we read this morning. The context is that it was on the night in which he was betrayed. This is in the midst of Jesus, his last time with all of his disciples gathered together for the Last Supper, and he wants to give them final instructions. He also wants to comfort them. He also wants to prepare them for what is still yet to come. And so he says that, "I will be leaving you. I'm going to my Father's house, and I'll be preparing a place for you as well there." At funerals, a lot of times we ask questions. Why did this happen to me? Or why did this happen to this person who has died? Here in our gospel lesson today, if you noticed, there's actually quite a few questions right here in this gospel lesson. I think I counted 5 or 6 different question marks in here. Some of those questions were asked by Jesus to help bring them along, to help them to understand. And then many of the questions are also asked by the disciples then too. At a time of stress or a time of conflict, there's always questions that are asked. Again, at funerals, people ask why. Why now? Why did it happen to this person? We may be asking these questions right now too as we go through this pandemic in this world. Why did this happen? How did this get released into the world? Why is this? Where is God in the midst of this? Why are we having to follow all these procedures? Why is everything being shut down? Why does the economy have to be shut down? Where is God? Why is this happening to us? I can't answer all those questions. A lot of times a why question is a good question to ask, but it's a question that we need to think through. Also, we need to rely upon God. You think about what the disciples were going through at this time when Jesus was speaking to them. Like I said, this is on that last night that Jesus has all his disciples together. They know something is going to happen, and it does. In just a few hours, Jesus is arrested. It's a stressful time. The disciples know the climate. They know that the Jewish leaders are angry at Jesus. They know that it's a dangerous situation, and they are fearful. And so Jesus brings these calming words. Do not be afraid, because Jesus is still there in their midst. And even if he goes away, he is coming back again. For us too, we are in somewhat a stressful situation. Maybe it's fearful for some people. Some people are just angry that all this is taking place. It's a stressful time, but we need to remember to hear these words of Jesus, these words of comfort, these words of peace, these words of reassurance, these words that Christ will be with us always. A key part in this passage is that connectedness of how the Father is in, or Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus, and then that connection that he puts then too with the disciples. If you know me and have seen me, you have seen the Father, and then too. In a week and a half, Thursday a week, we celebrate the Ascension, where Jesus ascends into heaven. And as he's going up, in the words of Matthew's gospel, he tells the disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always till the end of the age." We are connected to Jesus. Jesus calls us to himself in our baptisms. We are baptized. We are washed clean. We are tied to that cross and that resurrection. And we are given these promises that yes, we will be forgiven of our sins. Yes, we will be raised to new life, just as Jesus was raised to new life. We are connected. Right now, it seems as if we are disconnected. Here in church, there's just a few people here, and we're all scattered out. Many of you are at home, and you're scattered out from family and from friends. People want to see their parents, but it's hard to go see aging parents, even if they are at home. And if they are in nursing facilities, then you are not allowed to go see them personally. It is difficult at this time. We can't gather together and have a big barbecue. We can't gather together and have a wedding reception or even a meal after a funeral. We seem disconnected. We seem apart. We seem separated from one another. But at the same time, Jesus stays connected with us. He is within the Father is within him, and we are with Christ. Jesus gives this promise that he is going ahead of us to build a mansion. And with that, he will build many dwelling places or many rooms or many houses for all the believers who were there. And that is a promise that we will all be together once again, celebrating once again. But this is not only about the time when we go up to heaven. This story as well, these words of Jesus as well, is for now. It is for us who are living now, that as we believe in Christ, as we have trust in God, as we have patience, as the Holy Spirit gives us. These words give us life now. They give life abundantly now, because we know that no matter what happens to us, Whether we can't see friends, we can't see family, whether our family member or friend or even ourselves contract this disease, Christ is still with us and will lead us through this. This passage is read at funerals a lot of times to bring that comfort and peace to people who need to hear that God is with us and that we have a place for God. God has not abandoned us, but God is right here with us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn of the day, Thy Holy Wings, and it's number 741 out of With One Voice. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. We praise you for raising your Son from death, and we praise you for opening the door to your mansion for all who believe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in authority, for we know that true authority comes from you. Grant to the leaders of every nation a desire to seek your will in all things. Open their hearts to receive your word. Give them the wisdom in decision making. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember your servant Stephen, who answered the call to serve you. As he gave his life in proclaiming the good news, sustain those who are threatened with similar persecutions throughout the world. Grant them steadfastness of faith, courage to pray for those who persecute them, and a holy remembrance that you have made them your chosen people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who seek help and whom it is too easy to neglect. The orphans, widows and widowers, foster children, those who are abused, the homeless, the hungry, and those who are gripped in chains of addiction. Grant help, healing, and a remembrance of their value in your eyes. Provide the church and social services the resources needed to care for all in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We hold before you all who are sick and injured. Bring healing to those who have recently had surgery and undergoing physical therapy. Sustain the hope of those who long for the healing of life-threatening diseases. We especially hold before you Renee Pierce. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for all those who are affected by the coronavirus, those who are sick and suffering, families who have lost loved ones, those who have lost their livelihood, medical workers, and those who live in fear and distress. Shine your light on them and on us, that all may see and feel the warmth of your presence, comfort, and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are graduating high schools, colleges, universities, and other places of learning. Grant that they may use what they have learned for the well-being of their neighbors. Be present with those who will enlist in the military services and those who are currently serving their country. Guide congregations and candidates for ordained ministry in their call processes. May those who are seeking employment find meaningful work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As your Son prepared a place for those who believe, comfort the families of those who now reside in your heavenly mansion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your risen Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If it is safe to do so and you are at home, you may join hands with one another as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is Shall We Gather at the River? It is out of With One Voice, number 690.
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.